Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today we continue in our study of the book of Titus. The first two sessions have been wonderful, and we're looking forward to getting underway with this one as well. But before we go there, just a quick note that because this is a study session, we'll not be taking live phone calls today. However, the listener line is always open, so you can get your questions to us by voicemail. That number is 844-322-2742. So if you have questions or issues you'd like us to discuss on Basic Gospel, or if you hear something during the broadcast that you don't quite understand, well, we cordially invite you to call. Again, that number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Just leave us a voicemail because we'd love to hear from you. But right now, it's time to get today's study underway, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Titus chapter 2 today, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. That's what we're going to try to cover. Yeah. And we've been doing pretty well, haven't we?
Absolutely.
We've been getting through our intended passage each and every week. So Titus 2, verses 1 through 10. Last week we stopped chapter 1 with a really negative statement about some empty talkers and deceivers. Mm-hmm. And Paul said they deny him. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work.
Very subtle.
And that's what we're going to find, and that's what Christian history has shown us, is that whenever sound doctrine goes out, there are people that come alongside and try to pervert it, try to twist it for evil purposes, for evil intention. And that's just kind of the way of this world. We see it on the inside of each and every one of us, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7, when we want to do good, we find evil right there alongside. That's just kind of the way it is. So project that out into the world. We're gonna see that. So wherever we see the truth of the grace of God going forth, we're going to see some empty talkers, some deceivers, people that are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work, come alongside and try to twist that good news of Jesus Christ. We saw it in the province of Galatia. That's why Paul penned that particular letter. People were coming from Jerusalem telling the Gentiles that, hey, you need to convert to Judaism in order to be a real Christian. Yeah. And they got all confused and all twisted as far as their understanding, and they were led into hypocrisy, Peter leading the charge. Mm-hmm. And so we see this time and time and time again. And this letter, as far as Paul to Titus, was a letter encouraging him to stay the course, to continue with sound doctrine, regardless of what these other people are saying, regardless of how much they're trying to twist and pervert the good news of Jesus Christ. You continue moving forward, proclaiming this sound doctrine. And that's how he introduces this second chapter. He says, but as for you, there's these empty talkers, there's these deceivers, but as for you, Titus, this is what I want you to do. I want you to teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. So what Paul is going to be getting at as far as this portion of the letter is that sound doctrine is essential for sound living.
Yeah.
And the two go hand in glove. This isn't just about some facts to believe. It's facts, it's truth, it's information, it's Christ himself that gets down inside of us and starts to change us from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And as we learn the message concerning Christ, that's going to transform us on the outside as well.
Yeah.
We talked about this past week the idea of the Shema in the Old Testament. The Lord our God is one. And then Moses says, I want you to teach that to every generation, and I want you to have this truth in the frontlet of your eyes, right there on the forehead. I want it to be on your forearms. And what was he talking about? He's talking about belief and action, belief and living, that whatever we believe, that's what's ultimately going to come out of us.
Yeah.
So this is what Paul is saying here, that whatever we believe is going to come out of us. So if we're hearing sound doctrine, if we're believing sound doctrine, then that's going to translate into sound living.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean we're going to live perfectly. That doesn't mean we're going to live without sin. That doesn't mean that we're not going to fall flat on our faces from time to time. But it means let's just keep allowing the Word of God to pound on us and to mark us,
mm-hmm.
so that this Word can flow out of us. So he says, teach what accords with sound doctrine. This is an imperative, a command. Paul is saying to Titus, this is what I want you to do. This is my command to you. I want you to teach what accords with sound doctrine. Okay? And this thing, this word accords, it's a great word. It means something that distinguishes itself or excels. So there's all kinds of teaching, and they're going to be hearing. People are going to be hearing all kinds of teaching, but there's only one teaching that's going to distinguish itself as the true teaching concerning Jesus Christ, as the true teaching concerning his death, burial, and resurrection. So Paul is saying, I want you to continue teaching that sound doctrine, that truth that distinguishes itself as the genuine Word of God concerning Christ Jesus. And here's what it's going to do as far as the listeners are concerned. For older men, I think this sound doctrine is going to teach them to be sober-minded, to be dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love, and in steadfastness. That's how belief translates itself in day-to-day living, in attitudes and actions. So sober-minded. So this truth is going to renew the mind. It's going to make us see things and think things that are in accord with God,
yeah.
and his perspective on things, which is going to dignify us, set us apart. And then this truth is going to lead to self-control and to allow people to be sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Now, this word sound is a great word. It's a wonderful Greek word. We get our English word hygiene from it. We want everybody to practice good hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
We've been hearing that day in and day out ever since coronavirus started to be a thing here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to deal with it? Well, the number one defense is good hygiene.
Yeah.
Wash your hands. Be physically distant from other people. Wash your hands. Don't go out. Wash your hands. That's
yeah.
that's what they continually talk about. Have good hygiene. Well, that's what this word sound is all about. And what does it mean? It means to be healthy. It means to be sound. It means to be physically well. In a metaphorical sense, it speaks of being pure, uncorrupted doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're getting the pure message concerning Christ, the uncorrupted message concerning Christ Jesus, then that's going to translate into a healthy lifestyle. That's what this is all about. Now, doctrine, as far as what that has to deal with, it's both a manner of teaching, so it's how we teach, but it's also the thing taught, so it's the content.
Mm-hmm.
So we get caught up into all sorts of things. So I'm over here at Church X, and Church Y is just exploding. I mean, people are going over there, and there's an excitement, there's a buzz. So all of us here at Church X, we're starting to scratch our heads and wonder, what's going on over there? And we call the pastor, we call the leaders, and we say, what are y'all doing? Mm-hmm. And then they start outlining all the things that they are doing. Man, we've got this beautiful nursery and center for kids that is like Disneyland. And then we've got this killer band, and boy, the kids just love this music. And so the kids are bringing their families, and we're just exploding. So over here at Church X, we go back and say, wow, we need a Disneyland for our kids, and we get caught up in the methods that we forget about the message, we forget about the content, and that's what Paul is saying. Never forget about the content. Never forget about the message, because having a kid's palace that looks like Disneyland doesn't necessarily transform kids. When I was a kid, the church that I went to, man, it was the it place to go. We had kids from every other church in our town that would come to our youth program. And we were doing all sorts of things, taking trips down to retreat centers and doing mission trips. And we were having all kinds of fun locally. I mean, it just was fantastic, just a great place to be. But when I got to college, and I faced all the temptations that started coming at me while I was in college, I didn't have anything of substance to withstand those temptations. So what did I do? I gave in. I had a wonderful youth experience, but I didn't have the purity of the message to transform me from the inside out and to teach me to renounce ungodliness and to live a righteous, upright life while I was in college.
Yeah.
So it was a frustrating experience. So we want to be hammering this content. We want to be hammering the message. We want to be giving it out in its pure and uncorrupted form. And that was the imperative from Paul to Titus. And as it says, that's going to be translated into everyday living. So for older men, as I said, sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or gossips, or slaves to much wine. So it's kind of interesting how we see a little bit of difference there with what Paul is saying as far as the men are concerned, mm-hmm. and the women are concerned. But the women, the older women, they are to teach what is good. A lot of times we think you read the New Testament and Paul prohibits women from having any type of ministry. But here he's saying, I want the older women to teach what is good. I want them to be teachers. Mm-hmm. I want them to take this sound doctrine, and I want them to teach it to others, and specifically to younger women, to train younger women. To train them to do what? To love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, to be pure, to be workers at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands. So we see here Titus is going to teach sound doctrine. He wants others to catch hold of what that sound doctrine is, and he wants them to pass that on to others as well.
Yeah.
So we just keep moving this message further and further out as far as our spheres of influences are concerned. It's like that rock in the water. It forms a little circle, and it goes out and out and out. That's what this sound doctrine mm-hmm. is supposed to do, continuing to move further and further out and affect more and more people. So these older women are to teach what is good. Now, they have this phrase in here that these younger women, the older women are to teach the younger women to work at home, to be workers at home.
Yeah.
Now, that gives a stereotype, doesn't it? And it's kind of interesting because that's really not what this is saying, that they need to work at home or just stay at home. They can't work outside of the home. That's not what this passage is all about at all. It's simply talking about looking after the domestic affairs with prudence and care. And that's, Gina does that unbelievably as far as our household is concerned. She looks out after us, and she's resourceful, and she cares for us in just marvelous and wonderful ways. But she works outside the home, and she does a killer job at her workplace, and she's commended all the time, and she's always getting all kinds of awards and acknowledgments for the good work that she does. But she cares for us at home, and that's what this is all about. That's what Paul is saying to Titus as far as what older women are to teach younger women to do, to take care of the domestic affairs. And so we see how this sound doctrine is going to translate into sound living. And a lot of times we just want the sound doctrine, forget about the living. I just want to do what I always used to do. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not how it works. The message of Jesus Christ is going to affect us inside and out.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Session 3 of our study through the book of Titus, and we'll continue in just a moment. But friends, you know, when you share what God has blessed you with, you're not only helping to ensure that Basic Gospel is able to pay its bills and stay on the air and online, but through your gifts, you're literally reaching into the hearts and lives of people who need to hear the life-changing good news of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we thank each one of you who shares a portion of what God has blessed you with to ensure that Basic Gospel continues to be available, and that people will continue to hear this message of love, grace, and life in Jesus Christ. As always, you can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net, or you can mail your gift to Basic Gospel at the address in the footer of any page of our website. Of course, that again is basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us.
Yes, we would, and we certainly need your help as we close in on our fiscal year end. So whatever you can do and be as generous as you can, please do so, and do so now. We certainly need to hear from you. Back to Titus chapter 2. We're going to go on to verses 7 through 10. Before we do, Paul certainly urges older men to teach the younger men to be self-controlled. And all of this is so that the word of God is not dishonored, that it's not blasphemed. And that's what the word dishonored really is. It's the word for that's translated blaspheme, which means to be spoken evil of. Now, Paul talks about this in other letters. For example, in Galatians 2:14, he's admonishing the Galatians and telling them to keep in step with the truth of the gospel. And later on in that letter, he says, if you are led by the Spirit, you should keep in step with the Spirit. So that's what this is all about, that we want to keep in step with the Word of God, that we want the truth of the gospel to show forth inside and out as far as our lives are concerned. And we're going to see that as far as the younger men are concerned with this attitude of self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. This is a byproduct of the Spirit's work inside of us. Now, in verses 7 through 10, he says this, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bond servants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Mm-hmm. So again, it's sound doctrine being lived out in day-to-day life. So as this doctrine, this message concerning Christ, this teaching concerning his death, burial, and resurrection takes root inside of us, then we're going to see it on the outside of us as well. That's just how God has rigged this thing to work in our lives. So he says to Titus, I want you to show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. Now, this isn't good works in order to be justified. This is good works that flows out of a justified person.
Yeah.
So it's a big difference there. Now, this word for model, to be a good model, it's the word tupos. It's the Greek word that we get the word type. So if you know, if you took typing in high school, you know what that's all about. You hit a key, then a letter pops up, and it makes a mark of that letter on the page. So the actual word is from a verb that means to strike or to smite with repeated strokes. It's a mark or impression. So what is he saying here? That through sound teaching concerning Christ, we become like him in attitudes and in actions. So he's saying, I want this message of Christ to keep pounding on you. I want it to keep striking you at the very core of who you are. I want it to continue to make its mark on you and in you so that it can reflect out there into the world, so that people can see that you have been marked out by Jesus Christ himself, that you belong to him. So that this is an exciting word to me. It's really good. So he's saying, I want you to be that model of good works. What does this word good mean? It means constitutionally good as to quality and character. You know, you go into a store and they have different grades for meats that you can buy. Well, you want the one that is has the highest grade. Why? Because it's good in quality and character. And that's what he's saying here. These good works are constitutionally good in quality and character. Why is that so? Because they come from the good one who lives inside of us.
Yeah.
So good works are the result of Christ doing his good work in you and me. So that's not something that we have to worry about. We simply have to trust the Lord. Mm-hmm. We simply depend upon him, and the good one produces good works in and through us.
Yes.
So in the teaching, let's show integrity and dignity. Let's use sound speech. There are many teachers that try to aggravate and stir up and cause all kinds of dissension and conflict and that sort of thing. And it brings all kinds of judgment and negative words upon the teaching, upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's saying, let's show some integrity and dignity in how we teach. And then he talks about bond servants, and that's someone who's in servitude to another, consumed in the will of that other person. Jesus Christ was a bond servant, consumed by the will of his Father. Paul talked about himself as being a bond servant, submissive to his master. Mm-hmm. And that attitude of submission is a huge attitude, one that we're all called to live in as believers in Christ. He says, be well-pleasing, not argumentative or pilfering, but show good faith so that you adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. That's what Paul is getting at in this particular letter.
Yeah.
Let's use sound doctrine to make its mark on our souls, on our inner being, so that that mark can spell itself out in our day-to-day living.
Session 3 of the Book of Titus, and thanks, Bob, for those wonderful thoughts and for the preparation that you put into this particular study. And friends, thank you for being with us. I want you to remember to join Bob on Sunday mornings at 9:30 Central for Sunday Morning Live. You'll find direct links to both Facebook and YouTube, the streams at the top of the homepage at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 9:30 Central, Sunday Morning Live with Bob Christopher. Hope you'll join us. Well, now for Bob and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing you a blessed weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Take care. Bye-bye.